We welcome you into KCIM Sports Rewind here on this Tuesday, as it is the CB Sports Network Rewind Show here on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, KCIM. Sports Director Jeff Blankman in studio with us, as well as Assistant Sports Director Mason Nealon, as they join us. And we got a pretty good guest, I think, on the show today. Marie Day, running out at Northwest Missouri State for track, was a really good cross-country runner at Carroll, too, and also a really good track athlete, winning a state title in her time with the Carroll Tigers.
I'm almost going to tell you, really good is all you're going to give her.
Well, elite, great. Great elite. Yeah, great. There we go.
I mean, I can think of a lot of superlatives to, talk about Marie Day. She was special when she was running at Carroll High, and one of the greats that they've had in probably the last 20 years. And it's continued into her college career. So we welcome Marie Day onto the phone with us here today. Marie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am doing well, and it sounds like things are going very, very well for you with track down there at Northwest Missouri State. You're in your sophomore year. What's this experience been like so far?
It's been really great so far. Yeah, my freshman year went really good, and this year it's continuing to just progress. So, yeah, I'm having a lot of fun.
I got to talk about your time at Carroll. What was it like, between doing cross country and track, and now in college you're just doing track? Was that an easy transition out of from having to run those long distances at cross country and then to track, or has it been kind of an easy transition for you?
It definitely was a big adjustment at first coming in my freshman year just doing track, because I had to work on a lot more speed than I did just in high school. But I think this year I'm definitely getting a lot more hang of running at like the faster paces, so I think it was kind of a big adjustment at first, but now it's been really good, and I do like the track aspect of it a lot.
Well, that somewhat answers my next question. I was just going to say, do you miss cross country at all?
Mostly I just miss like the team aspect of it. My high school team was really great, so that was a lot of fun, but the actual running part of it, I definitely like sticking with the shorter distances.
And you've had a lot of success with those, and I know it's probably a lot, but what's a typical workout for you to get ready for an upcoming meet and I'm sure it depends on which races you're in that week, but what's a workout like?
So right now we're getting ready for the national championship, so my workouts recently have been kind of looking like, I'll do some handoffs with my 4x4 team before, because we're running the 4x4. So I'll do some handoffs, and then I'll do some race pace work. So I'll just practice like filling out the pace of my 800. And then after I do that, usually it's some quicker stuff to like keep my speed up. So
what were some of the workouts you mentioned that going in from running long distances in high school and then the shorter ones in college, what were some of the stuff that you did to train yourself to kind of become maybe a little bit more of a sprinter than you had to be, now at the college level?
I think the biggest difference was the weight room. We definitely like emphasized lifting a lot more here than I did in high school. So that was something I kind of had to learn and get used to. But I think that made the biggest difference, was lifting coming into my freshman year, and then really just learning all the techniques and ways that they try to get more powerful and explosive. And then I took that into my summer year after freshman year, and I kind of just progressed off of that.
So, Marie, I've got to ask, I don't know if you know who Danielle Hoyle is. She was a great athlete over at Peyton Sherdan and ended up throwing the hammer at Iowa State. She brought up weight room, too, said didn't lift much when she was in high school. When she got to college and they kind of got her into the weight room, she fell in love with it and wishes that she would have done that type of stuff in high school. Is that kind of the same feeling for you of now you see really the value of what being in the weight room has done, or has it not really impacted you the same way?
I do agree with that. Yeah, I do like lifting a lot. I think it really helped that I was taught all the techniques and like the reasons why we lift the way that we do. So I feel like, yeah, that I definitely have grown to like enjoy the weight room a lot more. And yeah, I do definitely agree with that.
Marie, we talked about, the workouts for running and kind of what you do to get ready for stuff like that. But what does lifting look like for you? What workouts does track coaches kind of require you to do at the next level?
So we lift 2 days a week, and they're both on our recovery days. Some of the just basic lifts we do is power clean will be like our main focus for one to the lift, and then the other day we'll do like squat, pin squat, or like some variation of squat. So those will be like our main lift, and then the rest is just some like explosive like arm workout, or like we'll do like pull-ups or just the basic like things like that. But we really try to focus on hang clean, and then squat is our two like foundational lifts.
Marie, I'm going to take you back to high school again. Winning the state championship in the 800 your senior year, what was that like? And I think for folks that don't know, like, you won that out of the first heat. And normally the first heat down there at state isn't the fast heat. Walk me through the race if you can remember it. And what was it like getting to, you know, wave the flag as a state champion?
Yeah, I actually have been thinking about this race a lot because it was 2 years ago, like from a few days ago. But that race, I love to think about it because that was one of the times where I had to run, like, by myself, was in the slow heat. So it definitely took a lot of, like, confidence going into that race to be able to just take it out in the lead and just trust my fitness. So, yeah, it was like, a surreal feeling to be able to win that my senior year. And, yeah, that race was really great.
Marie, did you take it as a challenge? I remember interviewing you that day, but, you know, as you flash back, you said you've been thinking about it. Was that kind of a slight for you or a challenge for you because you knew how good of a runner you were that somehow you ended up in the, you know, in that second or that first heat and that helped push you a little bit?
Yeah, it definitely did. It was a challenge, definitely mostly mentally for me. I remember when I found out I was in the slow heat, I kind of was freaking out, and I told Coach Christensen, I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? I was kind of freaking out, and he was like, well, it's the fast heat now since you're in it. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll just think about it differently, I guess.
Did you kind of flash to, like, when you go work out on your own and, like, sometimes you just go out for a run on your own? Is that what it was? It's like, I'm probably going to be running by myself, so it's like a training day where I got to go out and really push myself?
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, I just got to go out fast and try to maintain that. The second lap was definitely the most challenging part because that's when it started to hurt pretty bad. And I was like, shoot, how bad do I actually want this? But, yeah, it was a crazy race.
We talked about some of the things that you saw different when you went from transition to high school and now into college at Northwest Missouri State. What are some of the things you took away, you know, running track at Carroll that you felt helped you out at the college level?
I feel like one thing that comes to my mind is my coach Christensen. I loved him. He was a great coach. He always told me, like, during hard workouts or races, like when I was kind of overthinking before my races or whatever, he was like, just do the best you can because that's all you can do. And it was like, that was such like a simple thing that he said, but I feel like that stuck with me even these first 2 years of college. Like, I always just like hear him say that in my head before my races, and I'm just really thankful he was such a great coach, and I feel like he's the reason why I've gotten so far in college too, so I'm really thankful for him.
Do you have opportunities to reach out or hear from coach, or do you guys stay in touch at all?
Yeah, we do. I actually sent him some of my races whenever I have live streams of them. So I think he definitely keeps in touch and, like, follows my results and stuff. And sometimes we'll email back and forth about my races, which is really nice.
Marie, you've run the 200, looks like the 600, the 15, the 4, and the 8 in college, along with, the you know, some of the relays you've been in. What are the favorite races for you at this level?
Some of my favorites are definitely the 4x4 has been really fun this year to get to run on that. And the 800, obviously, has always been what I'm, like, naturally the best at. So that one's been really fun. But I have had a lot of fun trying out new races. Like, the 200, that was really different for me, but that was really fun. And then running the 1500 this year was kind of crazy. I hadn't ran that since, like, my sophomore year of high school. So that was kind of fun to try that out.
You mentioned you get to go run in the national championships coming up here soon. What are you running in, and kind of what's the goal for you going down there to run in those?
So I'm running in the 800 and then the 4x4. And my goal in the 800 hopefully is to be All-American. I'm ranked 5th going in, and I'll run the preliminary round on Friday. So hopefully I'll get into that final and then just to maintain my fifth place spot. And then 4x4, I think going in we're ranked second, so hopefully we can maintain that spot too. Our team's really great, so that's a lot of fun to get to run with those girls.
Marie, when you were, you know, sophomore, junior, even senior in high school, did you kind of sense that this was where it was going to go and that you'd be one of the, you know, better runners, you know, in college, you know, and stuff, and have the success that you've had?
I honestly had no idea. I knew college was going to be really challenging, and I was like, I don't know, I could be the slowest one here once you get here. But once I got here and I had these girls that are really experienced and helped me, like, push myself, was when I started to gain a lot of confidence in myself as a runner. So I feel like being on this team specifically has helped me a lot with that and just gaining confidence as a runner.
What was it about Northwest Missouri State that set them apart from maybe some other places that you went and visited? And where were some of those other, like, interests of schools that you saw and stuff like that, you know, during your senior year trying to figure out, you know, where you wanted to go run track at?
Yeah, the college, like, visit process was really kind of a lot. But I knew when I came to Northwest, like, the people I met and just the program they had here, I knew it would fit very well to me because they're very, like, good at, my coach is very good at what he does in coaching, like, middle distance, and I just knew I'd fit in really good here, so that's why I ultimately chose here. But the other schools I visited UMary and UNI were my other two top options, but ultimately I feel like I just fit better in here, and just the whole way that they had their training program set up sounded like it would fit really good to what I wanted to get out of a college program.
Marie, have you been lucky enough that a lot of your teammates that you came in with are still there, and the girls that helped teach you, or, you know, we're in a different world today with the NIL and stuff, and I know that's pretty much at the bigger schools, but you see kids now being willing to jump around a little bit. Is it more stable at your level?
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty stable. A lot of the girls I trained with last year are back this year, and yeah, I'd say my training group is been really good. And then next year our girls side's definitely going to grow a lot more, so that'll be fun to see all the freshmen or transfers or whoever's coming in. It's fun to see the different people come in and the different, like, team dynamic that comes with each year.
I know you're still in season, Marie, but will you stay down there when the season wraps up and train over the summer to get ready for indoor and stuff like that?
No, I'll go back home and be training over the summer back at home, so that'll be really nice to have that time away.
So I've got to ask, you've gotten probably an opportunity to run in a lot of different places around the country. What's getting to travel like at the college level, and what are some of the favorite maybe meets and places you've been able to run at so far in your career?
My favorite, probably indoor nationals, was at Virginia Beach, so that was a lot of fun to get to be there with my team. And then California this year was also a lot of fun. We kind of had a smaller group there, but it was a lot of fun to just get to hang out with my team there and then race and have a good time there. So those are probably my two favorite meets so far.
And I know you got a chance to see Shay Sennard at a meet earlier this year. Shay's mom, of course, sent me a picture of you two, and that was awesome to see you guys together again. Do you bump in? I know there's an Ava Campbell, I think, that graduated from ACGC that's running down there. I don't know if you get a chance to see her much in practice, but is it kind of nice to see kids that you competed against or with when you were in high school sometimes?
Oh, yeah. It's really fun to see the different people I competed against at different meets. Like, I think whenever we went to Pell, I saw a lot of people that I used to run against in high school, and it's fun to, like, catch up with them. And, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Marie, kind of not a track question for you, but what's school like going on right now? What are you studying down there at Northwest Missouri State? And, you know, do you have any, you know, thought about plans after you wrap up and everything down there?
I'm currently studying business management, and after college I plan to get my real estate license, and that's kind of my plan right now. And, yeah, school's been going really good. I like it a lot.
How different is, you know, college life as far as, you know, trying to get your studies in with all the training you have to do, and how different is that, and what was that adjustment like for you?
It definitely was a lot at first. Last year, my freshman year, getting used to just practice and travel and getting all my work done. But I think my teammates are all very, like, on top of that. So I think I kind of learned from them how to, like, balance everything. So that definitely helped a lot. And going into my sophomore year, I was pretty confident in balancing it all and all my schedule and everything. So I think it's been going really good.
So you said that there was a lot of girls that were upperclassmen that helped you out as a freshman. Then you said that now a lot of freshmen are going to come in next year. Do you feel like you may adopt that role as one of the upperclassmen to help out some of the freshmen and some of the newcomers next year?
Yeah, I definitely think that's very helpful when the upperclassmen kind of just take the lead and show the freshmen how everything works and everything. So, yeah, I hope to be that for the freshmen coming in.
Marie, I do have one last thing. I'm trying to remember, did you graduate with Mason here? Did you guys graduate the same year? And is it kind of interesting to hear him now interviewing you somewhere besides for Tiger Vision?
Yeah, I don't know if we were the same year, but I do remember, yeah.
I think possibly.
Yeah.
Is it 2024?
Yeah, 2024.
So, yeah, it would have been the same year.
All right. So, yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But, yeah. I tell you what, it has been an awful lot of fun following everything you've done down there. I think the success is going to continue. When do you guys go off to Nationals? When is that coming up?
We'll leave tomorrow morning, and then I'll race Friday.
Where's it at?
It's at Emporia, Kansas this year, so it's probably the closest it's ever going to be for a national championship meet.
You got a lot of family going to go down and support you with it being somewhat close to home?
Yes, I do. I'm really excited about that.
Do you get much of a contingent from the Carroll area at some of your meets?
Yeah, definitely when we have closer meets, like in the Nebraska area or Iowa, a lot more people are able to come to that. But most of our meets are kind of more south, so that's kind of more difficult for people to come watch. But it's been a lot of fun whenever the meets are closer to home.
Where have you ran here in Iowa and over in Nebraska since you've been there?
So we just ran at Concordia, and that's in Seward, Nebraska, and then we run at Pella, and hopefully next year I'll be able to run at the Drake Relays. I've been trying to convince my coach to let me run that one.
You miss the Blue Oval, don't you?
I do. Blue Oval magic.
A lot of success on the Blue Oval. Marie, I want to thank you for joining us today, and good luck coming up at Nationals.
Thank you.
Hey, real quick, Marie, one last thing. I just thought of this. Any advice for you for any high school, especially girls or even the boys that want to get in and maybe compete at track? You know, what do they need to do to have themselves ready to go for that next level that they can do in high school?
I would say just the small things really add up. I feel like throughout my college career, like each year after my season was over, I would just be like, what are the ways like I can improve as a runner? Whether it was like nutrition-wise or just my training plan. So I feel like just finding those small ways to like progress each year like makes the biggest difference.
Well, Marie, again, we thank you very much. Again, short notice, I reached out to you, I think, yesterday, and you were available to go today. So we thank you for all of the time. Congratulations on everything. And hopefully next year we'll see you back down here at the Blue Oval at the Drake Relays.
Yes, thank you so much.
That was Marie Day,
former Carroll High grad, as well as now down at Northwest Missouri State, and having a great career, it sounds like, and everything like that. So excited to see. And I think it's always good when we can get kids on that are maybe still in the college phase and like see the success that they have and kind of go along with them and say, you know, here's what I'm doing, here's what I'm training to get ready for next year and stuff like that.
Yeah, ranked in the top five in both of the events that she's going to be running at Nationals. That tells you how successful she has been. That's not easy to do, and she deserves it all. I know she put in a ton of work when she was here, and I'll guarantee you she's probably working harder down there than she even did when she was back here at Carroll High.
I tell people when I get asked about, you know, some of the stuff that I've seen, you know, covering sports here in Iowa, and I always bring up her state championship run because that was like, to me, it's been a short time that I've been here doing sports, but to me that is one of the best things that I've seen and got the chance to witness.
I tell everybody all the time, I love all of the sports, but I would say that state track is probably my favorite state event to cover because of the things that you see that are like that. And I still remember, you know, she didn't leave the track, you know, after running that first heat. So you were literally standing over there kind of,
watching her watch that second heat, and you can see that, you know, oh, there's a chance she's got it, and you're watching her reactions and her excitement build, and it was just, you know, so happy for her, and just getting to, you know, not even like be a part of it, but be that close to see the reaction, like literally within a couple of feet away from her as that race and that championship played out was special.
I remember when after she ran in the heat, normally after the kids get done, we interview them, you know, but you came over to me like, okay, let's wait and interview Marie because she ran such a good time. They're like, she might contend for a state title. So you said, wait until she gets done, wait until the second heat gets done. And then she ended up winning the state title. And it was a great experience, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking forward to being back down there. We'll talk a little bit about our coverage coming up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday down at the state meet a little bit later on in the show, but you know, I think we do a pretty good job of covering and get a lot of different things out there, and we'll kind of let everybody know where they can find everything coming up. So
we'll talk some high school soccer, high school baseball season got started, and then we'll talk state track coming up next year on KCIM Sports Rewind.
Graduation is a milestone that marks both an ending and a beginning. At Kemper Catholic High School, we are proud of the class of 2026 and the faith, character, and leadership they have developed during their time here. As they take their next steps, whether in college, careers, or service, we know that they are prepared to be a light in the world. Congratulations, graduates. We thank our families, staff, and community for walking alongside these students on their journey. This is Kemper Catholic High School. Be a light. Go Knights.
Hi, I'm Matt Wessling, nurse practitioner at St. Anthony Regional Hospital. I'm excited to be joining the St. Anthony Clinic and even more excited to bring my family back to this area and the great community we are proud to call home. As a family medicine provider, I care for patients of all ages 6 months and older, from children to adults and seniors, providing personalized, comprehensive care for every stage of life. Family medicine is about more than treating illness. It's about building relationships, focusing on prevention, promoting long-term health, and helping you and your family stay well for years to come. Whether you need a routine checkup, preventative care, management of ongoing health concerns, or same-day care when you're not feeling your best, I'm here to help. I also have experience caring for individuals with common and complex sleep disorders. I'm accepting new patients and welcome individuals of all ages. Call St. Anthony Clinic today at 792-2222. Always look to the cross, always St. Anthony.
We welcome you back to the CB Sports Network Rewind Show here on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM at KCIM. Also want to thank St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services for sponsoring this show every week for you guys so that they allow the three of us to come on here and get our 1 hour of glory, I would say, throughout the week to talk sports.
Yeah, and it's got to be close to 20 years now that St. Anthony's has sponsored this show. So we the Rehabilitation
Services.
I'm 27. Services,
Mason, how old are you?
Not even 20, right?
They sponsored it the day I came out of the womb waiting for me to get on this show.
But we thank Steve Schabel and everybody up there. We need to get Steve back on sometime and kind of talk about what they're doing. I think that would be kind of fun. We had him on early in the show's history. But, it started off with John Ryan and me and Fred Van Heck, and then it became John and me and Tom Hawkapp, and then John and me and Mr. Jeff Honnold, who Mason just said we'd time to make him mad, so he's probably listening on the road somewhere. So we'll let Mason make him mad here in just a moment. And then you came in. Actually, Tyler Bruner came in. And then you came in, and now Mason, and then John retires, and now it's I'm the only old one that's still here.
I know. You're the only one that's been able to stick here. I mean, John was here for a while.
He was here for 22 years of it, So should we make Honnold mad here real quick?
Just let me ramble off about basketball?
Yeah, especially the NBA. He doesn't mind basketball. He's just not an NBA guy.
I will say, when I came in today, I told you guys, I don't watch much NBA, but that game last night between the Thunder and the Spurs was probably one of the best NBA games I've watched in a long time.
That should be a great series. I think it's two fantastic teams. Both are young. I think they both play. Now, I don't like SGA sometimes in the fouls that he gets, you know, when he doesn't really get bumped. But it's still a great game and two great teams, and I think it should be a lot of fun.
It makes me mad as a Cavs fan that knowing if we beat the Knicks, on the slight chance we beat the Knicks, we're going to have to go up against a two-time MVP back-to-back, or we're going to have to go up against quite possibly who could be the greatest player of this generation in Victor Wembanyama.
I'm glad he said this generation. Because earlier he's like, is he the greatest of all time? And I'm like, he's in year, what, three?
Well, because when I turn on this game and I see 7'5" Victor Wembanyama pull up from 35 feet and drill it to tie the game, I look at this and I'm like, I don't know what we have to do, but somebody's got to neutralize this man because he went off for 40 and 20.
How? He's 7'5", handles the ball like a guard, has unlimited range.
You can't beat him.
How do you neutralize him?
I mean,
but Chet Holmgren got a pretty good block on him last night.
Yeah, well, Chet's what, 7'5" as well or something, right?
With the wingspan. Yeah,
yeah.
It's insane. But Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals, so I'm happy there. But now we have to go up against everyone's favorite team in New York. But I'm not optimistic in that series at all because, you know, Cleveland had to overcome the 0-2 deficit to Detroit, and I thought Detroit was kind of frauds as the number one seed because they let Orlando get up 3-1 on them,
right,
and then had to come back. And then I got up 2-0 on Cleveland and then gave up, and that was probably a really bad series from Harden. So I'm like, I was surprised that Cleveland came out and won. But honestly, top five playoff performer of all time, Donovan Mitchell, statistically, so I'm not that surprised. So, but the NBA looks almost as good as ever right now with, you know, LeBron's retirement tour possibly coming up, Victor Wembanyama, SGA, the Cavs, the Knicks, Celtics, the Sixers even sometimes. I mean, there's a lot of good talent in the league right now.
Yeah, I think the skill level of a lot of those guys is pretty amazing. You made a comment here a moment ago, everybody's favorite team, the Knicks. Were you being a little facetious there? Because they're one of the most hated teams, I think, in the league, correct?
I've never met a true New York Knicks fan.
I haven't either, and I don't think I ever will. You have to live in New York.
Yeah.
To be an actual Knicks fan. But you mentioned Detroit is a fraud. Let me ask you this question. And folks, we won't stay on the NBA much longer. But are they built for the regular season and not built for the playoffs? Is that why they have a good regular season each of the last 2 years but have really struggled come postseason time?
Well, because you've seen it with different teams in the East. You don't see it a lot in the West anymore, but you see it a lot in the East. Back in, like, the 2010s, you had those years where the Hawks were really good and they contended with the Cavs, and then the Cavs would go in with LeBron and beat them. And then you'd have, you know, the years with the Bulls, and nothing against the Bulls. I know you're a Bulls fan, but they had years where they were
not
a top three team in the East in the 2010s, and then they would get beat by the Heat or the Cavs later on. And the Pistons are just one of those teams recently that they were either really bad or they were really good in the regular season, and then they get to the postseason and just haven't made a lot of noise. But I don't think the Pistons have been good since probably Chauncey and Ben Wallace, and then before that, Isaiah and Joe Dumars and Rodman and all those guys, because they don't have outside of those couple of stretches, not a great history for a team.
Yeah, you know, but beyond probably Boston and the Lakers, you know, what franchises do have, you know, kind of a great extended history. Everybody's kind of had some runs and then kind of faltered, because you take Jordan era out of the Chicago and the Bulls have probably been one of the worst franchises in the NBA minus, but they're looked at as one of the great franchises because of that stretch with Jordan and Pippen and those guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but
yeah, there's not a lot of teams anymore. You probably got to throw New York in there. You probably got to throw Philly in there a little bit.
I can't remember the last time the Knicks were really good after probably Patrick Ewing.
So Melo, Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo's
first couple of years when he was in New York, they were pretty
good.
They never got out of the postseason.
Right,
though.
They never got out of the postseason. So, last question, and then we'll move on because we got a lot of high school stuff to get to. Can anybody beat whoever comes out of the West? Can even the Knicks compete with whoever comes out of the West?
Whoever wins we're watching the finals right now in the West between Oklahoma City and San Antonio, and whoever wins that, and I know it's that kind of cliche of this is the finals, nobody can contend with them, but I seriously think that the West is going to run the league for the next how many years between the Lakers with Luka and Reeves, depending on if LeBron stays,
right?
The Spurs, the Thunder, those type of teams.
I mean, they can keep them together.
Yeah, there's nobody that can beat those type of teams in the East.
It's really been since the 90s that the last time the East was probably the better of the two leagues, because the West, you know, with San Antonio and then Golden State and the Lakers run in there with Kobe and Shaq, that it's, you know, I know LeBron had Cleveland in the finals a lot, but when was the last time a consistently East teams were winning the NBA title?
2010's Heat for 2 years in a row.
That would have been about.
It's probably only been LeBron, because you get 2016 Cleveland and then 2012 and 2013 Miami. were right. the two teams. And then outside of that, you had the Raptors and the Celtics one-off years. But right. it's been Western teams other than that.
Yeah, so probably for the last 30 years, the West has kind of dominated the NBA.
You think the NBA might adapt what the WNBA does and just send their top teams in and don't worry about
no.
conferences?
Too much money and stuff in the playoffs. I think they'll leave it the way it is.
Yeah. So. Speaking of a postseason, we have got boys soccer got underway yesterday.
Yes.
State track will be coming up on a Wednesday. Carroll picked up a pretty good win over MSC Foy Valley despite, you know, countless lightning and rain delays, but they advance to take on Perry coming up.
Yeah, Mason sat through most of it, I think, last night.
I sat through it till about the third one. And then I go, I'm going to go get my computer and get my raincoat and all that. And I drive back out and look, and I'm like, oh, it says 11:07, but the clock's not moving and everyone's shaking hands. What's going on here? And then I text Gary, and he says, you know, MOC's coach just said we're down 4-0. Let's just call it. And they were up 2-0 when I left at like the 16-minute mark. And then apparently at like 16 and 15, Peter and Kieran both knocked in goals to make it 4-0, and the MOC coach just said, what's the point in us driving back down 4-0 with 11 minutes to play?
I wondered when they went into that last delay, turned into the last delay. I know you had texted and said they're going into another delay or whatever you think, and I'm like, or they're going to suspend the game and finish it tomorrow, and I'm like, do you really want to drive all the way from Orange City for 11 minutes of
game time?
When you're down, if it was a 1-0 game or a tie game, that would be different, but it's going to be hard to make up 4 goals in that amount of time, so that was probably the right decision. But for Carroll, it continues the greatest season in boys soccer history.
Yeah, and I was going to interview Gary last night, but with the game getting suspended, we're going to do that here today. And one of the questions I already got in my mind is, you've been around for the last one. What does it feel now that the last greatest season is kind of history now, and you're in kind of that new greatest season that you've been the coach down there? Because they've built this kind of big machine of a team that can compete now with the Gilberts, the ADMs, the Ballards. They can possibly even make a run to state here as a 3-seed with Perry and Bishop Heland. And mm-hmm. I don't know who won between Green County or Harlan last night, but whoever comes out of that side of the bracket, and if they can beat Perry, I could see them making a run to the state tournament.
Agreed.
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying that Heland's overrated, so that would be a game that I think, and with what where the conference Carroll plays in, they've got to feel confident that they can go in and play against probably anybody. And this is a team that's good defensively and offensively, so they're very balanced in the skill that they have.
Yeah, and I mean, you watched it last night. We always talk about Luis, Sawyer, Landon being the ones to score goals. Kieran Polking, Nolan Stitz, and 2 goals from Peter last night were their
yep.
goals. And it's like, how do you stop a team outside of if you're a just flat-out better team? How do you stop a team that has so many threats to score on you? Because I named off 6 guys that could have scored last night's game. You still have Quentin Polking who can come up from the back line and score. You got Marco on the bench who can score. There's so many guys on this team that contribute offensively. And then defensively, you can't even name names because it's just kind of, in my mind, just one unit. Because
right.
you can't say, here's the leader of the defense, here's the leader of this kind of midfield. It's just kind of one unit they play as.
And speaking of teams that can score with a lot of different people, that's the Kemper girls soccer team, ranked number 2. They're going to head into the postseason on a roll. Haven't given up a goal since April the 17th. And what did you say? You added them up. Was it 89-0 since then?
They've gone 31 days and 13 games without allowing a goal, and they've outscored teams 78-0 in
That's
their last
crazy.
31 days.
Yeah.
And I asked Ken about it yesterday. I'm like, so what do you do? Like, what do you do in practice? What do you tell the girls when, you know, obviously Ken's a great soccer coach. He knows the game, knows the kind of the fundamentals of how you can get better. But in my mind, how do you tell a team we need to work on something when they haven't allowed a goal in over a month's time?
Film and point out the things that
they
haven't done. The
yep.
little things that, hey, we almost gave up something here and we caught a break that, you know, but we need to be better
yeah.
here and we need to be. That's the great thing about film study, and that's probably one of the most important jobs I guess a coach would have is that when a team's having a lot of success is still finding those things that, hey, we can be better here, we can be better here. And with the ability of film today, you can show that to them because this generation of kids, and rightfully so, they don't want to be just told something and expected to go do it. They want to understand why, and being able to show them on film
mm-hmm.
that this is what you're not doing well. You actually have the proof to go, we can be better here, and you see it yourself.
And the one thing I learned is that I was a soccer kid for a couple of years, and I played it when I was younger, but standing on the sidelines and watching him coach and kind of talk about the game, he says things that make a lot of sense. You know, he's talking about you need to fill different space and be open, and then when he talks about some of the shots, sometimes he talks about the body positioning of you're running towards the corner and you try to shoot, so the ball obviously is going to go behind the goal, or you're leaning back and you try to shoot, so the ball is obviously going to go up. He kind of says that, and I sat there, I'm like, this is part of the reason why, you know, this team is very successful, why Carroll is very successful as well, is that the coaching is very good at that level,
yep,
and they can get the guys and girls to buy in as well. So I think that that's part of the reason on that. But the other reason is that Riley Massey's number two in the state in assists, Kaylin Pudence number three in the state in assists, and you have an elite goal scorer in Sierra Pudence, that you can give those three the ball and trust them, but you also have other pieces that have bought in, the Cassie Lormans, Gabby Runnings, Kaylee Hausman, Addie Antover. Even when Addie went down, her sister Millie fills in and goes in the goal box and doesn't have to do a whole ton, but is still out there and willing to get down and dirty for a ball that rolls at the goal. So there's so many pieces that they can throw out there and say, we're not just Sierra, not just Riley. This is a lot of girls that have bought in.
And they've been able to get them to buy in, and not everybody happened to be the superstar. I say that in this, when I interviewed Ken last week for our weekly interview, I said, Coach, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, you got Sierra scoring three goals, Riley scoring three goals, and then sometimes you got like seven, eight other girls scoring a goal. I said, you have so many weapons. And I said, even sometimes Kaylee Hausman will pour in two or three goals. And he actually said, he goes, you know, he says, I tip my cap to Kaylee. He goes, if she was on any other team, she'd be one of the top goal scorers in the state. But she understands she's got Riley and Sierra this year on this team. So she's fine with being okay because they're winning, you know, and it's about the team, and she's okay with not getting probably as many shots as she would get if this team wasn't as loaded as what it is.
You say that, and she's, I think, approaching 20 goals on
the season. So she's still one of the better goal scorers out there, and that tells you that, you know, they're graduating a great one in Sierra Pudence, one of the all-time greats to ever play there. And I think Kaylee, with Riley coming back, I think you just slide Kaylee, you know, right in there next year. So
yeah, and I know that they're going to be loaded the next year, but the Kemper boys, 13 days off until they play their next game.
Yep.
And Ken kind of, I don't know if he was joking or not, sometimes hard to read when we talk, but just says, he's like, you practice and you get ready for the postseason, and they don't know their opponent yet.
Right.
Actually, no, they do. It's the girls that don't know their opponent yet, but they get tri-center, and he's like, you get 13 days off, and you're like, hey, you haven't played in 2 weeks. Go have fun.
Right.
He's like, that's kind of the mentality that you get. But they were still kind of learning how to not play with Fletch out there. So it'll be intriguing to see that they're a two seed, to see if they can still play like a two seed without Fletch.
Right.
Or if they're going to drop and maybe not make it out of that first round.
Right, yeah, because it will be interesting. I think they've had two matches since Fletch went down with the injury and won't be back this season. I think they looked a lot better in game two than they did game one and kind of understanding. So you mentioned, you know, Ken with his coaching ability. You got to see his dancing ability sometimes, because he's got some moves and stuff. I was doing a video interview with some of the girls after a game earlier this year, and he got in behind and was doing some dance moves in the back of the video. So he's got skills, and not just in soccer.
Trust me, I saw him last year when we did an interview. And the other cool thing is that the other day when I went down there and kind of watched them play, and then I talked to Ken after the game, their JV game gets canceled because one of the coach from the other school, I can't remember who it was, says, you know, we don't got enough girls, we're banged up. So he goes, instead of just, you know, getting done with this varsity game where you win 5-0, he goes, all right, girls, we're going to split up in two teams and we're just going to play an inter-squad JV match.
Right.
And so I'm like, you don't see that too often. You win a game and your girls are excited, and you win 5-0, and then coach just goes, we still got girls that haven't played yet and still have girls that are bought into the same system that want to play. Go split up in two teams, and we're going to play another game right after this.
Yeah, and that's the reason why you build a program where kids want to be a part of it, because they feel like they're a part of it and not that they're just standing there and not getting those opportunities. Do want to flip over to golf here real quick, because I know we got to get – I think do we have one more break?
Yeah, we've got one more break.
And we want to get state track in here real quick too. But congrats to the Coon Rapids Baird boys golf team. Andy Klein doing a fantastic job. David Van On came in and kind of rebuilt things here a few years ago and had that program program rolling, and now Coach Klein comes in his first year and takes them as a team to the state tournament. They win their district yesterday and shot it really well. Charlie Natras from South Central Calhoun advances as an individual, and then Jack Lenz and Braxton Vanami from Kemper able to qualify as individuals. So outstanding golf year for our boys. The girls will get underway tomorrow here in our area and stuff. So, but a great job for those individuals and also for those teams. Jackson Whitaker from Glen Ralston was supposed to golf yesterday. With the rains and the storms in the Council Bluffs, Omaha area, they pushed that back. They'll be golfing down in Council Bluffs now. Tomorrow is when they've rescheduled that meet for. So,
yeah, and I tell you what, boys golf looking pretty good, but there's a team out in girls golf that and I don't.
Girls.
I was gonna say there's a team that could possibly contend down there, and they're loaded from head to toe. Because obviously you see Elsa and Addie, and you're like, those are two seniors. Been to state, been our Rewind golfers, kind of alternating, and then now you throw in Giada, you throw in Brooklyn Lair. I mean, there is so many girls, and Deb just does a phenomenal job of getting athletes to buy in on that one as well and just be good golfers.
Yeah, and I tip my cap really. Giada's been on fire as of late, but Brooklyn too. I look at it this way. Like you said, you knew probably coming in what you were going to get out of Elsa, what you were going to get out of Addie. Giada took her game to another level. So you had three coming into the year that you felt really comfortable could go out and shoot a low score. But if you want to be a dominant team, a number two team in the state, you needed that number four to be consistent. And Brooklyn Lair's become that extremely consistent number four for them. And really, you don't look at them now as three with somebody else filling in that four spot. You look at them as a team that's got four legitimate, really, really strong golfers.
And the other thing is you've seen Giada go out and win medalists. You've seen Brooklyn go out and win medalists. So it's not just Addie dominating every meet or Elsa dominating some meets in there as well. It's kind of just been, you know, them trading different kind of rounds with each other.
Yeah. So it's been an awful lot of fun to watch them as the season has rolled on. So
we will step away. We'll take one more break. We'll be back talking state track and maybe some high school baseball when we come back here on the CB Sports Network Rewind Show on KCIM.
Hi, this is Adam Schwears. Graduation is a special time and a big step forward. From all of us at Carroll County Growth Partnership, congratulations, class of 2026. Wherever life takes you, you'll always have a home right here in Carroll County. Congratulations from the Carroll County Growth Partnership.
Iowa Savings Bank has a new chapter. We're now part of Midwest Heritage, bringing together trusted local service with even greater strength and opportunity. Hi, this is Michelle Pritchard. You'll still see the same team you know and trust, but now with more tools to serve you better. We're excited for what's ahead and proud to continue serving this community. Midwest Heritage, here for you today and into the future. Midwest Heritage, member FDIC.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
Tune in every Wednesday for the Arweva Rocket Review. Rocket Review gives you a look at what's new in the Arweva School District. Rocket Review is brought to you by sponsors Hawley Insurance and Berlin's Plumbing and Heating.
We are back with the CB Sports Network Rewind Show here on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, a KCIM state track going on this week, guys, and it's going to be a busy one for us. Plenty of kids, and we're qualified down there. Everything gets underway on Thursday.
Yeah, it does, and looking forward to it. And I want to thank the entire crew that we send down. Mason, of course, and myself will go down. But Jeff Storyhan going down with us again this year. Nick Brinks, of course, going down with us again this year, and Bennett Blake for a second straight year is going to be joining us, you know, down there. So five people to bring you coverage of the state track meet, and everybody's got a specific job that they're going to be doing. I'll just run through kind of where everybody can find our coverage here. Nick's going to be up in the booth. He'll be doing live radio updates on Kick 106.7 Don't know how many per hour. There's some gaps in there where we're going to mainly have field events and not a lot of running things, so it may not be always on there or whatever, but you can tune in to Kick 106.7. He also records those and posts them online as well, so you can find those on the sports website at sports.1380kcim.com. I will build a page that has the schedule for each day. I'll post that out probably for each day. Like Thursday schedule will show up like probably Thursday morning. Friday schedule will show up Friday morning before the event. And then same thing with Saturday. So you'll have the exact order with the times, the heats, and all of that stuff and all the information that you need for each of the local kids. We'll get pictures taken from Jeff Storyhan. That webpage will be updated pretty much immediately with results. Mm-hmm. It's the other thing that Nick does. He's really good at keeping that webpage like the moment a race is done or a shot put is done, he's got those details posted, you know, for people to be able to see. Bennett Blake and I will video interview every single athlete that we got down there from the local area, from all 11 schools that we cover. We'll upload those to YouTube. We'll throw them out to the CB Sports Network Facebook and Twitter pages, and then Nick will grab the link and post that on that webpage with the results. And then Jeff Storyhan will be down there taking photos of all of the local kids competing. We'll get he'll put together like a big photo album, you know, at the end of the day to throw out on social media. But we'll also get one of those pictures of every kid posted next to their results and next to their video interview on the website. So you'll be able to see them a picture, you know, one of their pictures of them competing. And then Mason's getting to go down, and he'll take my camera down there and do some video. And I know you're going to put together kind of a longer one. Is it the end of each day or just at the end of the 3 days?
I'll probably go shorter for the first couple of days.
Okay.
And then just kind of make it a, here's what happened this day, here's what happened this day, here's what happened this day, and then take everything together and kind of take the fun moments of state track and make just one, here's everything that happened. And then if a kid wins a state title, like last year we did with Trayvon Keeley,
yep,
I will make a specific video just for that event, just for that kid.
Yeah,
so.
And you'll be throwing some stuff out, I think, on Instagram and stuff as the day's going
probably
on,
the
right?
Instagram stories. I will probably take, because we have an attachment now that I can hold my phone on there, I'll probably take videos of the event going on, who's doing what and whatever, and just post it to the Instagram stories. So if you're curious that way, if that's kind of the only way you want to look at it and see here's who's doing what and exactly when they're doing it, it'll be out on the Instagram story as well. But everything mostly gets posted besides the interviews will be posted and finalized later in the night, because I know, like, for me, I can't put out a partial highlight video. Nick
right.
can't put
yep.
out a partial page. Well,
right.
besides just updating it, but fully getting it done. So for that type of stuff, it'll be out kind of later. So
now the page will be updated. The video, your video stuff will be the only thing that'll be kind
but
of posted later
page,
on.
Full, if you want full results or everything.
So.
But, and then we'll also, we get also have the luxury of typing up everything else that happens that night.
So we'll type up all the results as the day goes on and then do an audio recap of that on the Brinks Exterior Sports Report. And that'll come out at the end of the day. But yeah, updated results throughout the day, like almost as things are happening. And, video, pictures, video interviews, results tweeted, you know, radio. There's not really anything that we're not doing for state coverage.
I do want to mention, though, there is a bunch of kids going down, so we can't run through all. It's going to take
just
going to run out of his breath going down there, but the full list is up on the website.
Yes, we have all of the qualifiers. We posted that last Friday when they came out with the complete list of qualifiers, so you can find it. It's broken down by school and then the events that qualified and who is in those events. So, ICAM Manning had a great last Thursday, we will say that. Not that all the rest of the teams didn't as well, but they are sending a boatload of relays down there for both the girls and boys.
I was going to say for the boys, wasn't it 4x1, 4x2, 4x4, 4x8, sprint med, D med?
Yes. And the cool thing was, I talked to Coach Vanderhorst yesterday, at one point this season, besides the 4x8, they have broken the school record in every single one of those events. And they're only a little over a second over from the school off of the school record in the 4x800, which means they have a really good chance down there at the Blue Oval to break the school record in the 4x8 as well.
They're seated second, aren't they, in the
4x8?
They got a chance to break a school record and win a state title in the same race.
And Trayvon Keeley is the defending high jump champion. Tristan Gordon goes into the shot put from South Central Calhoun, or the discus, ranked number one. So we've got a lot of kids down there that are going to be really, really competitive.
Real quick before we wrap up, I know we're already over time, but baseball season got started yesterday, back in action with games coming up tonight.
Yeah, only ended up having one game yesterday. There was two scheduled, and one ended up you know, getting postponed. And then got, what, four games tonight, two broadcast. I've got Kuhn at ESAC County, and you've got, I forget, Kemper hosting who again?
Trainer,
there we go. So it should be a couple of good games, and everybody can find that schedule online.
That's CB Sports Network Rewind Show for you this morning here on KCIM. Check out a podcast of it coming up in just moments.
Western Iowa's news and classic hit station is 1380 AM, 90.